I made a misstatement that I would be talking about 3 hours here. I'm not talking about 3 hours here. I got to think about it. That was wrong. That was wrong. What I'm going to talk about is 3 days. 3 days. And I'm going to incorporate the help of about 8 people here that already are alerted. 3 days in history. You know, it's the same story, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It hasn't changed a bit since they penned it. We got the details, but sometimes there are angles that wake us up, freshen us. 3 days when people were emotionally and mentally all over the map. Those 3 days are the most pivotal in all of world history. I'd like to look at a few people who had to deal with those 3 days. They were there. And I'd like to look up close and personal. At the beginning of the 3 days, Jesus was on the cross, died, and was buried. Then he remained in the grave for the 3 days, according to the scripture. The various characters I want to bring out are accompanied with certain readings from scriptures. There's first of all the chief priests and the Pharisees, the ones that ultimately had him put to death. They had 3 days to gloat, 3 days to celebrate that their arch enemy had been crucified. The Romans did it, so they wouldn't have to face any guilt. But at the beginning of the 3 days, some bright individual among them realized that they had one more detail that they'd forgotten to attend to. Dave?
Now on the next day, that is the day which is after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. And they said, "Sir, we remember that when that deceiver was still alive, he said, 'After 3 days, I am rising.' Therefore, give orders for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go. Make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the tomb secure with the guard, sealing the stone.
So for 3 days, they had assurance nothing's going to happen. I hope you are as glad as I am that that bright individual instigated that. That proof did exactly the opposite of what they wanted to accomplish. Then there were the women. Not to discount men, but it's really, except for John, it's only the women that are listed in the scripture. They're at the foot of the cross. Please.
Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
The women, the followers of Jesus, had 3 days to agonize in horror of those vivid memories. Seeing the one they loved best dropping his bloody head in death. And then the spear thrust. 3 days to try to get past the numbness, take the responsibility of honoring his dead body, and following through with the burial process. 3 days. Then there's Pilate. Who has Pilate? Please.
While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and our children."
Pilate. I wonder what Pilate thought for 3 days. He had declared the man innocent several times, even tried to get him released. He made a public statement that he was not guilty of the man's blood. He may have heard his wife's voice repeatedly in his head saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man." He may have wondered what would happen next if the disciples did come and attempt to steal the body. Or, knowing that he had been shaken to the core when Jesus told him that his kingdom was not of this world, he may have kept thinking, "What if the man does rise from the dead? And how is Rome going to respond to this chaotic mess?" The thought must have kept running through his mind, "How can I explain this to Rome?" And 3 days for Jesus and one of the thieves. Who has that one?
"One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Mm-hmm. And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'"
For Jesus and one thief, there were 3 days in paradise. In the presence of all righteousness of God himself. And that one that we only know as the thief on the cross is still there. Then there was a particular centurion. Who's got Luke 23:47?
That'd be me.
Please.
"Now when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.'"
He had 3 days, probably to repeat his story. You can't, "I've never seen a death like this." And all that took place. And to declare to the people he must have been innocent. Same centurion.
"Now the centurion and all those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'"
3 days. To try to tell people what he believed because of this, the evidence. Then we have some common people. Who's got Luke 23:48?
I do.
Please.
"And all the crowd who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts."
The common people had 3 days to discuss all the events that transpired, to wonder, to shake their head at the mixed messages. They'd simply come to town to celebrate Passover, as they had done once a year, every year of their lives. But this one was different. The feeling of the typical festive event was not there. It was eclipsed by the extreme mourning. mixed with an evil feeling of celebration among thieves and murderers. Yes, this was a very different Passover. And then we have Peter.
Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." So he went out and wept bitterly.
Peter had 3 days to grieve over the loss of Jesus, to mourn over the fact of his own failure to help Jesus, even publicly denying Jesus 3 times. 3 days to think about Judas and wonder how they had missed seeing who and what he was. 3 days of beating himself up, wondering how he could face anyone, even face another day. Could he even go back to selling fish? We would be left to wonder if it were not for things that Jesus had previously said. Would you please turn to John chapter 16? John 16, verses 16 to 22 is a good example of his preparing them, though it was but a riddle. 16:16, "A little while, and you will no longer behold me. And again a little while, and you will see me." Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, "What is this thing he is telling us? A little while and you will not behold me. Again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father." So they were saying, "What is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wished to question him. And he said to them, "Have you ever thought about that? You're with the disciples and you're discussing this thing in private, and all of a sudden he addresses it multiple times. Again, are you deliberating together about this, that I said, 'A little while and you will not behold me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." We've just walked through that. "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come." How many women have said, "No, I'm not ready. This isn't happening." But when she gives birth to that child, she remembers the anguish no more, for joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes that joy away from you. Be it on the threat of death. On the threat of death, Stephen was able to pray, "Father, don't hold this sin against them." How many martyrs in the last 2,000 years have prayed for the one that was taking their life because that joy did not leave them? He was just preparing them. For a little while, you're going to be mourning. And then you're going to have joy that can't be stopped. And we would be left to wonder also about all of these things that happened in those 3 days if the history of the early church had not been recorded by Luke. We call that the book of Acts. Watch what happens. Read what happens after that resurrection. Had Jesus remained in the grave, his following would have quickly dissipated. But dissipate they did not. In fact, they were scattered due to extreme persecution, and they went with the news, with the eternal message that Jesus is alive, risen from the dead, and he certainly is the Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believing on him now, we confess that and celebrate the fact that he's risen. We didn't have to go through that excruciating confusion and pain of those 3 days. But they were real people like us. Many of us right here have been through trauma. We've been through the death of someone and that numbness and that grieving, that horror. Imagine that back then, plied against this innocent one on the cross. Take your feelings back there. But then on the third day, wow, the celebration that took place. Okay, interaction, thoughts.
It's interesting you say it, Heidi, remind us in the Bible that Jesus tells us the world will rejoice. And he isn't talking about just after he comes back, he's talking about now. Because even though we still are like, wow, that happened, we still rejoice after the fact that he died in 3 days and then came back.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Olivia. And those Pharisees and the leadership, empty tomb, they don't have a body, they got nothing to go on except couldn't be possible. Let's formulate this lie. They'd been lying all along. Here's the lie to tell people so nobody will go, huh, it reached me. He's risen from the dead.
But it's interesting that after Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't show up at the Sanhedrin and go, neener, neener, neener. He appeared to his followers. When I was a kid, and I would read the part about the people railing against Christ on the cross and saying, well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you come down? And I think, well, you know, he could have, and then gone back up and finished his job. But I thought, well, why didn't he do that? You know, as a kid. And because that's not his way. But he had the power, in a sense, to do anything. And yet, we're told that before the creation of the world, this plan was in place.
Yeah. Because you were his goal. Elizabeth.
I've thought about Joseph of Arimathea. And because he was kind of a secret believer, and he wasn't in agreement with the leadership.
Uh-huh.
Made that decision, but he offered his tomb, and obviously they knew whose tomb it was when they sent the guard to seal it and, you know, protect it from the disciples stealing him. So I've often thought, you know, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, what happened with them after the resurrection?
Mm.
They weren't secret anymore.
Amen. Right out in public. I'd like to back up to fullness of grace.